Good morning, church family. This is Eli Wiggins, and Eli told his grandmother, one of his grandmothers, that since he's trusted Christ, he couldn't wait till school starts because he was going to tell all the little boys and girls about Jesus. Eli, are you 100% certain that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Then upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism until death, raised to walk in a brand new life.
Church, this is Shayla Teixeira. Shayla, are you 100% certain that you've given your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, it's on that profession of faith that it's my privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in brand new life.
And church family, this is Kiki Kreider, and Kiki accepted Christ when she was 8 years old. And so today she's following through public profession of her faith. And Kiki, do you know for certain that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism unto death, raised to walk a brand new life.
Well, good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Springdale. Let's stand and sing about Jesus today. Sing with us.
And I'm alive.
covers me and raises dead men's lives. And it's all
So glad you're here today. Jesus does save. Sing it together. We have heard.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves.
Someone to First Baptist Church Springdale this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord today, and I'm so thankful that you came to worship. In Psalm, it says that He's our shelter, He's our portion, He's all we need. And as we continue to worship the great I Am, let's just enter in and prepare our hearts. Amen. I will bless the Lord. Sing with me.
My strength.
Sing this with me. Who have I in heaven?
Oh, who have I in heaven but you?
There's no one.
There's none I desire beside you.
This course. Declare today that in all the chaos that goes around us, even in this summer season, God, when there's so much going on, you're everything we need. And we stand before you today, continuing to prepare our hearts, knowing that we stand before the King of Kings, we stand before Majesty. And we just want to continue in this time, in this moment of worship, to declare the majesty of your name. Sing with me.
Sing in majesty. Oh, we sing majesty.
Your grace.
Oh, your grace has found me just as I am.
Empty-handed.
Empty-handed, but alive in your hand.
Sing it again. Majesty.
We sing.
Your presence.
In the presence of your majesty.
Just as I am.
Empty handed, but alive in your hand.
be seated, church.
For whom nothing is too hard, and I am the shepherd, and I am the door, and I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am, yes, I am. One, and I am the lamb, and I am the ram in the bush for Abraham, and I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your redeemer, beginning and the end. Stress,
I am strength, love, I am faith, power, I am power,
and today I'm your freedom. Let's
I am your comfort and relief from your stress.
I am strength.
We are going to use that a little later for a demonstration. I appreciate the joy of being back with you and welcome those who watch at Pinnacle Hills. How many of you are on the fast track? Let me just see your hand. Just check it out here. How many of you tied to the track? Let's check it out here to see how many need a psychologist today. Some of you are still in denial, and we'll work on that a little bit too. I get to speak all over the country, and I travel a lot, and I've met some nice highway patrolmen around the country. Matter of fact, I met one in your nice state last year. He said he'd been waiting for me all day. I said, I got here as soon as I could. We live in a fast world, don't we? I mean, just think about it. You do your finances, it's what, QuickBooks. You call somebody, it's Sprint. You send something, it's Federal Express. You eat at fast food, you diet at Slim Fast. You eat at home, it's Minute Rice. You have hot chocolate, it's Nestle's Quick. You get your picture developed, it's Fast Photo. You get your clothes cleaned, it's 1 hour cleaners. You get your car fixed, it's 10-minute lube. You go to the airport, it's Rapid Shuttle. You get the hotel, it's Express Check-In. Even when you want to relax, get out your swimsuit. What do they call it? Speedo. It's fast, isn't it? It's fast. So we're just going to stop for a minute. When's the last time you just stopped? I got pulled by one of those nice highway patrolmen. He said, Dr. Lowry, you didn't stop at the stop sign. I said, I really did. He said, you really didn't. I said, I slowed down. He said, it's not the same. I said, it really is. He said, it really isn't. I said, almost the same. He said, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. He said, get out of the car. I got out of the car. He started beating me with his billy stick. He said, you want me to stop it or just slow it down? I said, officer, you know, there really is a difference here, isn't there? And he said, about $150 difference. So we're going to stop. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to teach you how to have a balanced and blessed life. Today, we're going to talk about stress, about those difficult times. This world is a very stressful world. Now, two cardiologists were doing some research on why people get sick, and they weren't doing very well, and they ended up having their office reupholstered. The man did a great job, and as he's leaving, he told the doctor, said, I don't know much about being a doctor or a cardiologist, but I know chairs. Chairs are my life. And I've noticed something about your chairs that I think might be helpful in your practice. It may even be why certain people are getting sick. Well, working class man, two cardiologists, but maybe he'll lower the bill. What does he have to say? He said, what do you have to say? He said, well, these chairs, that's the backs of your chairs, best backs I've ever seen, 38 years of upholstery business. It's like nobody ever used a back. And this part of the chair was like it's never been used. But the front parts of your chairs are the worst fronts I've ever seen. 38 years of post. It was worn all the way down to the wood. And he said, I think the people who are sick, the people who come into your office, who are people who never sit back and relax. Matter of fact, they sit on the front of the chair. Not only that, they rub that front of that chair. I mean, they have rubbed it down to the wood. And he said, I think you ought to look at the personality of the people who are getting sick. And I think that might help you. Well, they said, thank you very much. And he left, and they turned to each other and said, I think he's got something there. They started giving personality tests. And, of course, you know what they discovered, the now famous type A personality. We've changed that a little bit to add a little anger, a little aggressive to it. But there is a personality that tends to make us sick and tends to make us miserable and unhappy. Unfortunately, it's the American personality. It's the Northwest Arkansas personality. It's do it more and do it better and do it faster. You know that personality. Got to get in the lane. Got to get at the grocery store. You ladies look like NFL linebackers in the grocery store trying to find that fast lane. And you know the law of lanes. Whichever you're in slows down, right? The reason it slows down, because you're in it. Just stay where you are, okay? It'll make it easier for the rest of us. But we want to switch lanes. We want to win. I mean, we got to be competitive. I mean, we go play some ping pong. We'd hit it back and forth after a while. You'd say, let's play a game. I said, well, you know, why don't, instead of competing, why don't we cooperate? See how many times we can hit it back and forth without missing. You'd say, what? Are you a communist? What do you mean? This is America. We got to have a winner or loser or we won't know who had fun. I mean, that's the way we do it, you see. watch the competition at the church softball game. You ever watch one of those? New guy just out there, just a new Christian loving Jesus, you know. Missed one, that's okay, just loving Jesus. Missed another one, that's okay, just loving Jesus. And by that time, a guy grabs him by the throat and says, if you miss another, I'm going to squeeze you till the blood runs out your ears. And that's the pastor, you understand, because, I mean, who cares about loving Jesus? We got to beat the Methodists. And so we get, got to compete. And see, nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, nothing wrong with competition. I mean, we want to be the best. The Bible says Daniel was 10 times better. But what happens is sometimes what we do becomes more important than who we are. And our identity gets wrapped up in what we do. It's like you juggle something and somebody says, you know, you're pretty good at doing that. Oh, yes, I am pretty good at that. Well, can you do this too? Oh, yeah, I can do that too. Oh, yes, you are good at that. Man, you're wonderful. I've never seen you. Can you do this? Oh, yeah, I can do that too. Oh, you are wonderful. You're fantastic. It's amazing what all you can do. Well, can you do this too? Oh, yeah, I can do that too. Oh, boy, you're fantastic. It's wonderful. Can you do this? And pretty soon you think, I can't keep this up anymore. And that's called burnout. When you just drop everything, and you know those people, they leave the church or they divorce their wife or they quit their job and open up a hot dog stand at the beach or they just run naked in the woods. They just go weird. You know, they just burn out. Now, we don't want to burn out. But then there's another personality and they rust out. You know, those people, they cause stress for the rest of us. They're just slow. You know, they takes them about 2 hours to watch 60 minutes. You know that personality. They get USA Yesterday. You know, they get in the express line, but they get in the 10-item express line with 11 items, and they're writing a check. You know, those kind of people that start to drive us a little bit nuts. Their idea of a formal evening is watching Wheel of Fortune with their shoes on. I mean, they're just slow. And they never get anything done. They're not going to burn out, but they're going to rust out. So what do we want to do? We want to last out. We want to be competitive, and we want to do what God wants to do, but we want to do it in a healthy way, in a way that doesn't destroy the body that He's given us. So we're going to look at some ways of doing that this morning, and of course for the next 3 weeks. Now, we're going to look mainly from the inside out, not the outside in. There's not anything you can do about the outside anyway. There's ways of measuring how much stress you're under. Matter of fact, if you read the research, there's a test called the Holmes-Rey stress test. And it actually measures in stress units the things that happen to you in life. For example, Christmas, I think, is like 25 stress points. It's good, but it's stressful. Well, let me show you how much this can add up real quick. The death of a mate is 100 stress points. That's the highest there is. That's the most stress, the death of a mate. Detention in jail is 63 points. So if your mate died and they think you did it, you got 163 right there. You understand what I'm saying? So it adds up real quick. You got to be careful there. But we're not going to talk about that. Because, well, Shakespeare probably said it best. Shakespeare said, the problem's not in the stars, the problem's in ourselves. If you don't read Shakespeare, you probably read Pogo. Here's what Pogo said. We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. So, how do we handle stress? How do we relax? Here's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those who labor, those who work. Most of us work, whether at home or we're doing something, we're working. Labor and are heavy laden. That's the people who work and the people who've been worked on. You ever get worked on during the day? Well, this is for you too. So, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I believe that's physical rest, rest for your body. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, I've worked with a lot of people. I've been in private practice. It's a lot easier to learn to relax your body than it is to relax your soul. But they go hand in hand, and we're going to work on both during this series. So he says, you will find rest for your soul. Take this yoke. And here's what he said about this yoke. You will find that this yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Doesn't that sound like a blessed and balanced life? This yoke that God wants you to take is going to be an easy yoke. It's going to fit you perfectly. You're going to be a partner with God to be the person that He created you to be. So how do we relax? Let's just take that word, R-E-L-A-X. R stands for renewing your mind. The Bible teaches us that we're going to be conformed to the way this world thinks, or we have to constantly renew our mind to learn to think the way God wants us to think. You see, it's very easy to drift in the way you think. I can remember the first time I went to the beach. I love to go to the beach. I just love the ocean. I believe God's called me to preach and teach and go to the beach. I just like the beach. Every time I go to the beach, I just want to jump in the ocean, no matter what time of the year. I just like the ocean. People say, well, what about sharks? Well, if you hear the music, get out of the water. But otherwise, just kind of enjoy it. And so I remember the first time I got to be on the beach with my parents. And they let me go in the water by myself. Now, a friend was with me, but they didn't go in. They just stayed on the beach. And I was out there swimming and having fun. And after about 30 minutes, I looked up to see my parents. And my parents had taken the umbrella and the towels and moved a half a mile down the beach. I thought, they're trying to lose me, my parents. And then I looked to the hotel we're staying in, and the hotel had moved a half a mile down the beach. And I thought, wait a minute, hotels can't move. I moved, I drifted, and I didn't even realize it. You see, if you're not careful, you start to drift, and you don't even realize it. So in this series, we're going to teach you what to think about, and the primary thing we're going to teach you is the goodness of God. Matter of fact, the best way to stay blessed and balanced is to remember the goodness of God and the godness of Jesus. If you stay that balanced, you're going to have a pretty good life for yourself. Because, you see, you come to church, we talk about the holiness of God, and we should, because He's holy. But if you focus on that, that's going to discourage you. Why? Because deep down, you know you're not holy. In your authentic moments, that'll scare the liver out of you, won't it? So we have to balance His holiness with His goodness. My favorite theologian is Dennis the Menace. Y'all know Dennis? You know, deep down, I'm real shallow, so I read a lot of Dennis. Dennis is over at Mrs. Wilson's house. Remember Mrs. Wilson? Friend is with them, and they're leaving, and Mrs. Wilson's giving them cookies. And the friend looks at Dennis and says, why is Mrs. Wilson giving us cookies? Does she think we're good? And Dennis gives him that look like, no, she knows we're no good. She's my neighbor. But then the theology, then Dennis says this, Mrs. Wilson doesn't give us cookies because we're good. Mrs. Wilson gives us cookies because she's good. See, once you understand, we're not here because we're good. We're here because He's good. Matter of fact, He's so good, He sent His Son to come into our world to make us holy, holy, holy. That's when you start to understand the goodness of God. Constantly renew your mind. And then E stands for enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have. If you understand the goodness of God and the godness of Jesus, you can realize that even the bad things, God could ultimately get good out, so you can really appreciate the things that God allows you to have. Matter of fact, great people, I've discovered, are grateful people. Ungrateful people become hateful people and destroy everything around them. You see, the fact of the matter is there's something wrong with everything. It's what you choose to focus on. I was going to teach my daughter, Brianne, how to learn how to ride the bicycle. I took her to a water park the fall of the year. Not a car in the parking lot, just a big asphalt. I said, look at Brianne, look at this. You're going to get to ride the bike on asphalt. I had to learn to ride on sand and rocks, but you're going to go fast, feel the wind against your face. You're going to be a bike rider just like your big sister. She was excited. I was excited. We got that bike out. I said, look at all that asphalt. I said, Daddy, what's that way down there? I said, don't worry about that. She said, it's a pole. Well, I don't worry about that. Well, what if I hit the pole? You're not going to hit the pole, Brianne. Look at all this asphalt. We hit the pole, it's going to hurt. It's not going to hurt because you're not going to hit the pole. Now get on a bicycle. You know, I teach a kid how to ride a bike. Don't you run like crazy, feel the wind against your face. You're a bike rider. What if I hit the pole? You're not going to hit the pole, Brianne. Go, go. And she heads straight for the pole. Daddy, I'm headed for the pole. I said, turn it to the right. Just turn it. Daddy, I can't turn it right. I'm headed for the pole. Turn it to the left. Just, Daddy, I can't. I'm going to hit the pole. She mutilates that pole. By the time I get there, tears in her eyes, lips stuck out. I told you I was going to hit the pole. I said, I know, Brianne, because you focused on the pole. Let me tell you about your life. I don't know you personally, but I know about your life. I've had psychological training, you understand? 85, 80, somewhere right around there, percent of your life is good. Feel the wind against your face, not a problem in the world. But 15 to 20% of your life, of everybody's life, is problems, difficulties, poles, polettes, jerks, jerkettes. That's just life. That's everybody's life. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. There's something wrong with everything. And if you're not careful, that's what you'll focus on. I'm in about 70 churches a year, probably. And this is a typical church. I guarantee you, there's a group that comes to talk about the problem and the poles and the poles and the problems. Here a pole, there a pole, everywhere a pole, pole. It's too light. It's too dark. It's too loud. It's too cold. It's too hot. They didn't sing this. They didn't sing that. Just mad. Business, I speak to businesses. You got a group in every business the same way. Families, every family tree has a pole, don't you? I mean, every family tree has a sap. You got a pole, don't you? I know you do. Christmas dinner, what did you do? I know what you did. You talked about the pole, didn't you? One if the pole comes, one if the pole doesn't come. One if the pole comes drunk like last year. What if he brings that other pole, her pole? What are we going to do? And life becomes miserable, doesn't it? Because that's what you choose to focus on. You might have heard about Grandma and Grandpa. They took their grandkids on vacation. They turned and saw this sign, Natural Park. They thought, oh, that'd be good for the grandkids, nature trails, things like that. They pull in and realize this really is a natural park. I think politically correct would be clothing optional lifestyle. For some of you, you would know it as a nudist camp. Realize this is Arkansas. For you bubbas, I'm talking naked people. You understand what I'm saying? So they got their grandkids with them. I mean, they got their grandkids. They pull in and realize, what are we going to do? If here comes four people on bicycles coming right at them, they can't get the car turned around quick enough. Trying to put their hands up so the grandkids can't see. But you know, grandkids, they're already, look at those people. Look at those people on those bicycles. Look at them. They don't have their safety helmets on. Now, how could they focus on that? Because that's what they've been taught all their life to focus on. You know what the Bible says? You're to focus on things that are praiseworthy. That means the good stuff. And remember, if you focus on God, he can get good out of anything. So you focus on God, and then you focus on the good. And by the way, the Bible also says this. Don't even speak a negative word. The Bible says every word you speak should be a word of edification. That's a good word. Because God knows if you look for good and you speak good, you're going to have a balanced and a blessed life. L stands for learn. You have to learn to be content. You have to work at it. You see, there's always another level. I got. These are nice pants, aren't they? You like these pants? They're linen. They stay wrinkled all the time. I don't get it. But they're nice pants. But guess what? There's pants nicer than these. And if I'm not careful, I will not be happy in these pants because I'm looking at somebody else's pants. You see, you got to work at it. You got to learn to be content. I spoke in Maui, Hawaii, Hyatt Regency Hotel. Paid for Penny and I to go over there, paid all the expenses, and I got to speak. It's a tough life, but somebody's got to do it. So, it's such a great hotel. I said, now, Penny, one day we're going to come back for like a second honeymoon, and I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to work. We're just going to enjoy it. And I didn't know at the time how much it cost because somebody else was paying. So it took a little while, but eventually we got to go back to the Hyatt Regency. Oh, it was great. A friend of mine, he's a rich guy. George called and happened to find out I'm in Hawaii. I'm in Maui. He said, man, I was just there a few months ago. He said, you ought to go see this Grand Wailea Resort. Man, it's incredible. It's got all this stuff. It's just nice. Well, Penny and I were out one day, and I saw the sign, Grand Wailea. That's what George is. Let's go take a look at that. And, man, it was unbelievable. I mean, what a resort. I mean, expensive now because it's one of those places where they charge you for everything. You know, I was looking at the ducks. He said, you looking at the ducks? Yeah, that'd be $5. You know, that kind of place. But, I mean, it was unbelievable. We take the tour. We get in our car. we're pulling back in the Hyatt Regency. And you know what my mind tried to tell my body? Charles, you're staying in a dump. You're staying in a dump. And if I would let my mind control my body and not tell it the right things, I would have destroyed my vacation. I would not have enjoyed the level that God has me right now. Enjoy what you have. My girls, we've lived most of our life in the city. They'd always want a dog. We'd get a dog. And the dad's job, when you got three girls, is to keep the dog in the fence. That's the dad's job. And the dog's job in the city, evidently, is to get out of the fence. They're obsessed with it. That's all they think about, is how can I get out of that fence? And so if you're the daddy of the dog, you got to think, you got to be obsessed with how can I keep the dog in the fence? And it's a miserable existence. You have to try to get that fence high enough so he can't get over it. You got to get it low enough so it can't get under it. You got to get it strong enough so it can't eat through it. And then you got to get the gates tight enough so it can't squeeze through the gate. And you got it totally fortified. And then when you got it fortified, then the dog waits for the back door and the front door to open at the same time. And it shoots through the house and runs out in the neighborhood. And you got to go chase a stupid dog back and put him in the fence. And it starts all over again. City dogs, miserable existence. You ever been to the country? Dogs sit on porches. Just sit there. There's no fence. They just sit there. And I promise you, they're smiling. You ever look at a country dog? He's smiling. Why? Because he knows what's out there. And he's learned to be content with what he has. Learn to enjoy the gift of life. Learn to enjoy the things that God's given to you. So, R-E-L-A. A stands for authentic. If you're not careful, you start to be conformed to the way the world tells you to think. The world tells you something like this: you can be anything you want to be. You can't be anything you want to be. You can only be what God designed you to be. Jesus, the Bible says, knowing where he came from and where he was going, washed the feet of his disciples. I was a preacher's kid, always wondered about that. Why did the disciples wash their own stinking feet? Haven't you wondered that? I mean, good night. Jesus, why don't you wash the feet? I believe I know. Those are just a bunch of preachers. They were probably having to tell each other how many they had, how many with this. You see, if you're not secure in who you are, you're always going to try to impress people with what you do. You ever been around those people? Well, I did this. If you did this, they did this. If you ate here, they ate there. If you've been there, they've been there. They're trying to impress you with what they do. Why? Because they're not secure in who they are. You see, Jesus, knowing where he came from and where he was going, he knew who he was. He's just Jesus. He didn't have to impress anybody. He noticed stinking feet. You see, if you are secure in who you are, you can start to serve out of who you are instead of the stressful of trying to serve out of what you do. You see, the creation is and spiritual life are a lot the same. Why? Because God created both. God's creation is pretty simple, really. If you plant a cantaloupe seed, come out of the ground, it's going to be a cantaloupe. You plant a watermelon seed, comes out of the ground, it's going to be a watermelon. Now, that cantaloupe seed can say this: this is America. I can be anything I want to be. I want to be a watermelon. They're bigger. They go to a lot more picnics. They get a lot more publicity. I'm going to be a watermelon. And so he gets some of those Robert Shuler tapes, and he plays it over and over again. Possibility watermelon. Possibility watermelon. Get some of those Zig Ziglar tapes. Positively watermelon. Positively watermelon. Gets that Covey book and learns the five highly effective habits of watermelons. The five highly effective habits of watermelons. Gets that Joel Osteen book and becomes a highly anointed, favored, and blessed watermelon. Highly anointed, favored, blessed watermelon. Get some of those subliminal, subterrestrial tapes. Play it underneath the ground while that watermelon sleeps. Play subliminal watermelon thoughts, subliminal watermelon thoughts. Goes to some new age hotbed, channels up some 400-year-old guru. Let him sit bow-legged, naked, hum, contemplate his navel, hold a crystal, and hum, watermelon thoughts, hum, watermelon thoughts. Goes to Tony Robbins seminar to walk on fire to prove he's capable of being a watermelon. Goes to psychotherapy, finds out his inner child maybe was a watermelon at one time. Cantaloupe can do all that, but when the cantaloupe comes out of the ground, what's it going to be? It's going to be a cantaloupe. It's going to be a sorry, no good, dysfunctional cantaloupe, because all you've done to it. But it's going to be a cantaloupe. Why? Because that's what God created it to be. Be what God's created you to be. Quit trying to impress people with what you do. Serve out of who you are. Be authentic. And then if you want to relax, X. There's not any good words that start with X. So X is going to stand for exchange. You exchange your stress for his strength. You exchange your work for his work. Why? Because his work is finished. It's finished. See, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the work has been done. And so because of that now, you've been freed up. You see, at the cross, it's the biggest plus in your life. Why? Because not only were your sins forgiven, but you obtained the righteousness of Christ. You see, you get credit for everything Jesus did. So when we get stressed out about us messing up, see, the Bible says you are made of dirt. Isn't it encouraging to know that God knows you're dumb as mud? You're made of dirt. And God knows you're going to mess up. Why? Because you have this earth suit, your Adam suit, and it's prone to mess up. That's why the greatest Christian to ever live, Paul, says the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. So God understands that no one ever really does their best. You don't believe that. Have you ever promised God that you're never going to do that again and you ended up doing that again? If you haven't, then liar, liar, pants on fire. It's like these two farmers. They're sitting on the porch. A dog goes by chasing the coyote. It's one of the farmer's dogs. The other farmer said, "Man, your dog's pretty fast. Look at him chasing that coyote." And the old farmer said, "He's not doing his best." And sure enough, a few minutes later, the dog comes back in the other direction and 10 coyotes are chasing the dog. And the old farmer says, "Now he's doing his best." Well, the fact of the matter is, we don't ever do our best. But God sent his best so you can rest. The work has been finished. And the Bible says, just a little faith in the finished work of Christ is all you need. See, some of you stress out about your faith. "Well, I got to have more faith. I got to love God more." No, you got to let God love you more. You see, it's not a matter of how much faith you have. It's what your faith is in. That's what matters. I fly a lot. I like to fly on these big planes. You know, they make you feel safe. They give you those safety talks like red lights lead to green lights to exit doors. And I always wondered, what good is an exit door at 40,000 feet? But, you know, I listen. And then sometimes I forget. They say, "Put that tray table in its upright and locked position." I got in trouble the other day. I forgot to do that. I was thinking in my mind, what's the big deal anyway? Have you ever heard of a plane fall out of the sky, fiery ball, hit the mountain, but 20 people walked out because their trays was in their upright and locked position? I just don't get what that, but that make you feel safe. But then I get in these smaller planes. You know, the farther you go, the smaller you get. When the aisle seat and the window seat are the same seat. You know those planes. You put the reading light on and the plane slows down. You know, that kind of plane. But I can make it with those planes pretty well. But the planes that really get me is when I call, somebody calls and says, "We want Dr. Lowry to speak at our church." And we look on the map and say, "Well, you know, American doesn't fly there, or Delta doesn't fly there." Then they say this, "Oh, that's okay. We got a man in our church with a plane." That's scary. We get them to ask some questions now at the office like, "Does he crop dust with that plane? Does it have a roll bar? Does he wear goggles when he flies it?" You know, just stuff like that. And finally, they will describe this plane And I'll have to say, I'm not doing that. I'm not coming. And then they get all spiritual. You know how church people are. That's spiritual talk is when they want you to do something that you don't want to do. They pull God out on you. You ever had God pulled out on you? They pull God out and say something like this. Aren't you a man of faith? Aren't you a man of God? Don't you believe God will protect you and you'll come to our church to speak? And here's what I always say. It's not that I don't have, that I'm not a man of faith. And I believe I'm a man of God. But here's the problem. It's not that I don't have enough faith. The problem is you don't have enough plane. That's the problem. You see, the Bible says that there's only one way to reach your final destination. And that's all that really matters in life, isn't it? I mean, I get off the plane at airports and people always ask the same question. How was your flight? And I always say, great. Takeoff and landings came out even. That's all that matters. And I really love the last part of the flight because I know I'm getting home if it comes out even. You know what the Bible says? That Jesus is the only one that can make sure your flights come out even, that you'll get back home. Why? Because he gives rest for the soul. Relax in his strength.